On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
So you get excited because they're excited, gets me excited, gets all of our fans excited, and our sponsors. So it's going to work out.
Bless you, boys! Unbelievable! I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
Step into the well-informed, ill-advised, and oddly entertaining world of Tall Can Sports.
Here we go!
Light the candle!
Well, here we are. I said we wouldn't be here tonight. It's Tall Can Sports 318. If you want to follow along on Twitter at Tall Can Audio, Instagram at Tall Can Audio, Facebook.com/Tall Can Audio, whatever. We said on Tall Can Sports 317, Maddie Lang's here on the show with me. There would be no podcast tonight because of exactly where we're at right now. If they lost, it would be far too raw. And if they won, it could kind of wait because they were moving on to play another date. But man, I'm fucking feeling it right now. I know you said just before we fired up the recording, you're kind of going back and forth between sad and angry, and that's about where I'm at. And this is fucking brutal. And
now, Matt, I don't think I said sad and angry. I think what I said was sobbing like an uncontrollable baby and livid.
Fuck.
Raging. Absolute raging.
And you know what?
I'm pretty surprised my neighbors haven't called the cops to find out why this guy is just screaming uncontrollably at the wall.
And you know what? When we're losing like we did tonight, I'm more stone-faced. I'm irritated. I'm clearly angry. I yell when we score. I'm happy like that. So there's been times during this series where I'm like, oh, fuck, I hope the neighbors don't have kids because... You know, I'm in a reasonably new unit. I haven't lived here that long. But nothing to cheer too much about tonight, man. I got pretty excited when Tavares made it 2-1, thinking maybe we still got a shot here. But this was... Look, I'll be honest with you, because I'm going to hand the floor to you here for a second. You sent me a message a little while ago that said you just poured a pint glass full of wine, and I kind of get that feeling right now. Normally when we come in here, I bring a beer and I bring a second beer with me to crack kind of when I get to it. Tonight, it's two mixed drinks instead of beers. Like, I'm feeling it. And one of the reasons I said there'd be no show tonight was because I knew it wouldn't be good analysis from either one of us. But there would be some heart on a sleeve. And I've been getting DMs on Twitter. I know you're tagged in on some of the stuff. You're getting some mentions as well. And there are people who want the pod tonight. And... if you're looking for steady, you know, detached, unemotional reaction, come back in a week or two.
Not the place.
This is not going to be it tonight. But that's okay. I think, you know, when the pod is under the Tall Can Audio banner, every now and then you can give people a little bit of where you're actually at, right? And we've both had a few.
A little bit of heartfelt energy.
Yeah, we've both had a few, and this is where we're at right now. And so we're going to do this. I got to be honest with you, man. Last year, I don't know why I was more sad last year. This year, I'm more angry. If you'd asked me after game 7 last year to do a pod, it would have been hard for me to fire it up. It would have been hard for me to do this. I was sad. But the thing was, last year, we were outmatched. We were undergunned. Like, we shouldn't have been in that series. Boston was clearly better. Freddie, despite having a bad game 7 that year, and we'll get into Freddie this year, but I didn't feel, and 2013, for people who want to go back that far, we had no business in that series, and we pushed them to game 7. So you're heartbroken, but you don't feel like you should have won it. You badly wanted to win it, but you didn't feel like you should have. This year, we should have fucking won this, right? And it's mistakes, largely by the coaching staff, that have us in this position now. So I'm pissed, man. Maybe I'll calm down. Maybe I'll cool off as we go, but I'm pissed right now.
I can guarantee you won't calm down at all tonight. That is my guarantee to all the listeners today who are probably listening to this on Wednesday morning.
Well, I think that's half the reason to be here right now. Don't worry. I'm going to give you the floor. I'm sorry to interrupt you. But that's
No, man. And I wanted to let you just get some of that off your chest. Yeah, trust me.
Because you know what? I think that's half the reason to do this tonight is because there's a lot of people feeling the way we're feeling right now. And we're getting that on Twitter. We're getting that, you know, in some DMs. And tomorrow morning, you're going to get the regular media that comes out and says whatever they want to say about Willie or this and that, right? And we can get to that because he's not without blame, but, you know, there's a few different places we can go here. But I think tonight, people are feeling the way we're feeling. And let's get that out there and let's give people a chance to kind of empathize a little bit and it's okay to feel the way you feel right now. And we're going to kind of voice that a little. And I hope people are ready for this. And we've gotten a couple replies. One stands out to me. I'm looking at it right here on my Twitter that said, you mean there's going to be a podcast tonight? There wasn't going to be, but yeah, there's going to be. So here we are, man.
I mean, if there's anything that's put a smile on my face today, it's the beer I bought on my way home from work and some of those DMs and replies to the tweets, because some of those guys were getting right into it, and I definitely appreciate anybody interacting with us on Twitter.
Sure.
And on the pod, because it's always great to know that, you know, people actually care what we think and what we say, and also share our opinions. Man, before we get into this, again, you just said it. It was different a couple years ago when we blew that lead, because that team was a one-line team with Kessel, Bozak, and JVR, and we had no business even being in the series.
Yeah, Reimer, we had no business being in that game. That was it. Mike Koska was on that team. He was in the minors the next year. Fuck. Mark Fraser. Yeah. Like, what's that fucking team? That was James Reimer and Phil Kessel, and that was it.
That was it, and that was a surprise. And you know what? That was more a, hey, this is a, let's just enjoy this ride.
Yeah.
We go into Washington again. You know, it's the first year with Matthews. We're not supposed to be this good. We're not supposed to be in the playoffs.
That's right.
Sneak in again. Same thing. We just give Washington a ride. Hey, this is great. Give some false expectations.
Seniors invited us to the party. This is fun, right? But we don't belong here.
The next year, we run into Boston. We're like, yeah, but you know what? This really should have been our first year in the playoffs.
Yep.
This is a good learning experience. This year we have Muzzin. This year we have Tavares. There is no fucking excuse for losing a game 6 and game 7 the way this goddamn team just lost those two games. There's no fucking excuse. And for Mike Babcock, I know we delayed this podcast about 10, 15 minutes to listen to what Mike Babcock said.
Yeah.
And you know what? That was a good pickup by you, because I really enjoyed seeing that.
Yeah.
Fucking no excuse. He comes out and says, well, you know what? The depth on defense, and we just didn't get lucky because they were just throwing pucks on net. What a bunch of fucking bullshit from a coach.
Yeah.
To throw your goalie your goalie under the fucking bus after he kept you in it all fucking season.
Yeah.
He should be a Vezina candidate. No doubt about that. And that's not a Toronto bias at all. That guy kept us in so many games all season long.
For sure.
You throw your defense under the bus. Listen, does this team have the biggest depth in defense? No. But do they have four serviceable defensemen, NHL caliber defensemen? Yes, they do. And then the minute they asked the media, and I was trying to catch the voice. I want to say it was either Simmons or Myrtle, but I couldn't tell the voice exactly. They didn't announce
Simmons
it.
Came straight out, and I think Steve Simmons stinks. That was Steve Simmons. And okay, I don't like Steve Simmons, but he went right for it, and kudos to him for it. That said, what are you doing there?
And what did he do? He said, the coaching staff thought he was the one who deserved it, and walked the fuck off the stage. And that is a fucking Bush League.
That's a cop-out answer.
Move.
Because obviously you felt that way, or you wouldn't have done it. Can you give us a little more? Why did you feel that way? Why, after six and a half, 6 2/3 games did you still feel this guy was going to be the one? We get that you thought he was going to help. That's why you did it. You're going to have to give us a little more here. But not Mike Babcock. He doesn't feel like he has to give us a little more.
And you know what made me even more upset? Okay, so first of all, kudos to fucking Simmons for this.
That's right.
Everybody rags on him because you, there was that awkward silence where you knew everybody wanted to ask the question.
Yep.
And he was the only asshole who stood up and actually asked that question. So kudos to him for
that's
that.
Right.
And he asked it in a very polite way. He didn't actually throw him under the bus or Marlowe under the bus. He just asked why. So great. He asked it. I'm kind of pissed off because Babcock walks off and they cut back to the four stooges there on Sportsnet. And all they do is fucking back Mike Babcock and say, well, yeah, he didn't have the depth that he needed.
Right.
And you know, no, who the fuck are you idiots watching right now?
Yeah.
And this goes right back to, we've talked about this on the pod, the hate sometimes for guys in the media, because they typically in hockey tend to be ex-NHLers, and it's an old boys club, and they, what happened when they named our boy GM? All they came to was Dale Hunter's defense and said, how are they going to name the 30-something-year-old, Mark Hunter,
that's right,
defense, and, you know, this is the guy who's been there the whole time? Well, fucking so was the GM.
Yeah.
They don't like the fact that it's a 34-year-old guy who's trying to do something a little different. They don't like change. And what do? They came to Babcock's defense and threw him under the bus instead.
Well, and also Freddie.
Bullshit.
Like, how long did they stand? Because that also lets Babs off the hook, right? Because Babs is throwing Freddie under the bus, and so then does the media. You go, look, I don't think this was Freddie's best game of the series, but Freddie's half responsible for getting us here. And I don't have near the same vitriol that a lot of fans do right now. And at some point, I essentially checked off Twitter tonight. I just said, this is a mess. I get everybody's frustrated, but I can't be a part of this right now because I'm having my own meltdown. Look, on the first goal that kind of squeaks through, you want Freddie to have that. You want to find a way, but that's a fluke. That's not out of position. That's not whatever. Look, if you want, the second one is Jake giving that up right in front, and everybody, like Craig Simpson's like, well, he's not out far enough to play. How could he be? That was turned over like 15 feet in front of him. He's not going to be out. He's not going to be aggressive enough. That's a terrible giveaway by Freddie. And even the first one, or not by Freddie, by Jake, sorry. On the first one where you want Freddie to have it, where it's that horrible one that squeaks through, that shouldn't have happened either, but that's Dermott throwing the long pass up the middle. Janssen's long gone out of the zone. Matthews, who I thought has been pretty good defensively and pretty responsible coming back to support the defense, he's getting ready to fly the zone as well because that's what they've been told to do. We're going to do this long breakaway pass thing that hasn't worked in several games right now. You have to collapse further back, so that gets turned over when it never should have. Does Freddie need to stop that first one? Yeah, you badly want him to have that one. But he never should have been in that situation. So on both of those first two, yeah, the first one I'm willing to criticize Freddie a little bit. The second one, that's not his fault. You can't turn that puck over like Jake did right there. And he's now a -8 in game sevens, and that's tied for league worst in history.
Yeah, well, I don't think we have to worry. Jake Gardner's going to be playing for fucking Arizona next year anyway.
Yeah, so. I think you're right, man.
Because you know what? I mean, don't get me wrong. I think Jake Gardner gets ragged a little bit too much in this city.
Well, and we saw that while he was out, right? Like, holy fuck, we kind of need that guy. But
Oh, my God. He's actually a decent defender.
Right.
Man, listen, Jake Gardner's going to get a lot of money from somebody next year because he's a serviceable defenseman on the higher end.
I hope Jake Gardner locked down his Instagram before this game because he's in for another fucking rough ride. Some people don't know how to cope, man, but
yeah, which is something we've both been on that thing on Instagram being like, don't fucking tag players.
Right.
Unless you know the guy, just shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
You know, that's not your point.
Before you go anywhere else, what did you think of Freddie? Do you disagree with me on what he needed to have, what he didn't? The third one with Corrali, it's kind of a one-on-one. That one, yeah, I don't know, whatever. Fourth is an empty net. The fifth one is at the fucking buzzer. It doesn't even matter.
Well, we don't worry about those last two. But, I mean, okay, I and you know, full disclosure, I missed the context of those first two
goals.
That's
true,
right?
Yeah, you were working a little bit. Yeah.
I was leaving work. I couldn't get off. I did block off work a little bit early, but managed to only get home for the second period.
Right.
Without the real context and only having seen the replays of the goal, it's hard to say.
Yeah.
Man, that third goal. I don't know what it was, but just the way it was happening in a neutral zone, I looked down and was like, fuck.
Yeah.
I knew that was going to turn into a goal.
Yeah.
Just the way the play was developing.
And it's their fourth line.
Yeah, I know. I know. Our guys were out there too long.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck, man. Here's the thing. With a goalie, with a cohesive team, with a team that's truly cohesive, that cares about each other, your goalie lets in a bad goal, you fucking respond.
Yeah.
Right? That's just it. It's the same thing as if Matthews or Muzzin make a bad pass up the middle and that's the turnover goal that leads to, you know what I mean? Like, your team responds, your team picks you up.
Yeah.
I was on the text with a couple friends tonight, and including yourself, and one of my friends said, there's something bad in the water right now. And I said, there's gotta be, right? Because he messaged me, because he wasn't smart enough to get off as early as I did today from work, and he goes, what the fuck happened to Matthews in the third period?
We didn't play.
I said, you talking about the fact that he didn't play today? He goes, yeah. I'm like, fuck, buddy. Everybody in the city is wondering that right now.
Well, can you pull
right?
up?
There's something wrong.
I don't know, man. Like, can you pull up on the score app there, just under the stats section? They've got everybody's ice time listed already. I meant to pull it up. Now I've got the pod running through it, so it's harder to do it. At some point, I think it was Matthews in the first period, played like 6 minutes, 20 seconds. And I remember sitting there during the first, and I know you missed it, coming back from commercial break, and they're going with the fourth line. And I'm like, what are you doing? And I get it. There are times where you're like, well, they're going to put their fourth out, so we'll put ours out, and we'll just saw that off. You can't do that on the road in Game 7. Matthews needs to go back out there, or Tavares needs to go back out there, but you can't allow this to – even if that drags – because Boston got last change. Even if that drags Bergeron back off the bench in to come and face Tavares – fine, but you can't come back from commercial with Frederick goddamn Gauthier. And in the third period, you end up on the power play somehow because they take a too many men that, you know what, that was a bit of a gift to us. I mean, it was obvious it was too many men, but when does that ever get called in the third period of a Game 7, right? That's a gift. We go out through the power play, we don't score, and they come back with the fourth line. What are you doing?
Yeah.
So, I think Matthews finished at like 18, 19 minutes. I don't know if you've got it pulled up there.
Just, I just pulled it up. It was 18:48.
Honest to God.
18:48 with 2 minutes and 20 seconds on the power play. Just to put that in perspective. So 18:48.
Yeah.
Total ice time. Patty Marleau, 14:35.
That's too close.
You know what makes me even more upset? Austin Matthews, 2:20 on the power play. John Tavares, 2:20 on the power play. Obviously, they're on the same number one power play unit there. Yeah. Patty Marleau, 1:40.
Too much. Too much.
Hey.
You know what? You're the one who said this on the last podcast, and you were totally right on TCS 317. It's available now at TallCaneAudio.com, whatever. He's been good in his own end. Marleau was still smart enough to be in the right position, was still good enough to chip it up and out, was still doing some of the little defensive things, right? Because he's got the experience, because he's a smart player. But he couldn't keep up, he couldn't win battles, and he sure couldn't be on the power play anymore. And the fact that he's only 40 seconds short of Austin Matthews in power play time is fucking laughable. I don't understand what happened there.
I mean, at this point, you know, fuck, if you want a guy to go win pucks, why isn't Zach Hyman on your power play? Why isn't Connor Brown on your power play?
If you Trevor want a guy Moore who's just was be, great tonight.
Just put him – if you want a guy who's going to be in the right place at the right time on the power play, and we're talking about guys, third, fourth line guys who are very responsible guys. Zach Hyman.
Yep.
Man, he could definitely be on the power play. You're playing him with the good guys anyways.
Yeah.
It's not like you're pulling him off a line with me and you to play in the power play unit, for fuck's sake.
I'm a good net front present, that's about it. I can put that Thomas Holmstrom ass right in Tukaras' face.
Nobody said any would argue with that.
No, exactly. You know what, man? I don't know what happened here. And there's a certain amount of, you know, when you lose Kadri, it hurts your depth. It means some guys got to play more. It means it messes with your power plays a little bit. But
hold on. And Matt, I got to stop you here because you know I'm a Cadre guy.
Yeah.
I was a Cadre guy way back before everybody else was a Cadre guy because I always thought he was a good player. And if the right scenario presented it to himself, he was going to be a better player.
Okay.
And they miscast him in that. Yep. They tried him as a first line guy. He kind of was a second line guy behind Bozak.
Yep.
On this team, he's exactly what he needs to be. He's the best third line center in the league.
Yes, he is.
Okay.
But when he's not cross-checking teeth out.
Listen, against the Bruins, that should be fucking allowed. After we saw what Chara
fucking honest did. To God. I'm going to let you finish because we got to get to that later, though.
Listen, do not tell me. I don't want a fucking coach up there telling me, well, my third line center got suspended, so that's why we don't have the depth.
But it is why we don't have the depth.
No, we have plenty of fucking depth. This isn't Matthews going down. This isn't Tavares getting suspended. Those are excuses. Not having Nylander around is a problem. Not having Marner's around is a problem. But when you lose your third line center, that is not a fucking excuse to lose a fucking playoff game over 7 games.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think on the power play, we needed him. I think
No. It's a problem when you replace him with Patty Farkin Marleau. But you have Zach Hyman around.
Oh,
and
my
you,
God.
Listen, if you had played Gauthier more, I'd be okay with
no.
it.
No. No, I'm
but
not.
Don't fucking roll Patty Marleau out for 15 minutes on a do-or-die game.
I checked this before we came in. I don't know if you've still got it readily available. I think Gauthier finished around 8.5 minutes. So you're kind of like...
Yeah, you're pretty well right on there. 8:23.
So you're like, all right, I guess...
Hey, second-round draft pick, fucking Freddie Gauthier. Don't you throw him under the bus now.
I'm doing it. I'm throwing him.
Hey, listen, there was a very good former GM who put his life on the line to get that draft pick. What did we give up for that draft pick?
I don't even remember.
Slick back fucking hair, no tie on, making that call, okay?
I'm not blaming Freddie. I'm blaming the coach who's playing him this way. You know what? 8 minutes.
Too much in game 7, man.
I guess.
Too
right?
much. You know why it's too much?
But here's the
when
thing.
You got to have all these guys who are 22 years old who will be fine in 2 days.
Yes.
If you play them this much time.
Yeah. You know what? I'd straight up forfeit game 1 against Columbus if we were too tired and too whatever just to get through this, right? Look, 8 minutes, I don't know if it's too much because in hindsight, when I'm looking at the minutes, you go, I guess, right? But as the game went on, it felt like it was Freddie all the time. It felt like coming out of commercials. It was Freddie. It felt like coming out of power plays. It was Freddie. And you're like, I don't know what you're doing right now, especially in the third period after that power play I mentioned earlier when they go. And I know part of it is because you run your top two line centers on the same power play, but we're not the only team who does that. And you got to figure it out. You got to find a way. And that's, I know, part of the excuse for pulling the Matthews Tavares number one power play group off the, the Bergeron line when they're on the power play, sometimes they'll play the full 2 minutes. The Matthews Tavares line never does because someone's got to come back out after the power play, but apparently not. Like if you're going to go with the GOAT, then those guys need to stay. And I don't understand in the third period why Freddie Gauthier is your first guy off the bench after a power play. You got to keep the momentum going, man. And
We talked about this on the last pod.
In hindsight, when you look at it,
doing this.
You go, 8 minutes isn't terrible. I guess that's fine, right? But it's during the game where you see these big moments. Yes. It's these moments where you're like, I have no idea what you're doing right now. I just, honest to God, man.
I just want to let the podcast listeners know, I went from a very delicious craft brew beer from Rorschach during the game.
Uh-huh.
And
can you spell that for them? Because that's a weird Rorschach.
Oh, man. That's a tough one for me.
I'm sorry, man. I thought you might still have the can there. No worries.
I do have the can only because they only sell it in half liters, actually, at the brewery.
So
the
brewery
for – yeah, so, I mean, they do sell some in the LCBO.
Okay.
I think they do the half liter. I think they've started doing some cans lately. But for anybody who's in Toronto, especially downtown East End, It's in the Beaches, which made it a very easy pickup for me on my
sure,
way home.
Yeah.
So it's Rorschach. It's Rorschach.
Forgive Maddie. He's had a few to drink too tonight.
I've had a couple drinks today. It's named after the Rorschach ink blots.
You told us about these guys. All their beers are named after psychological tests.
Yeah.
I could use a couple of tests tonight.
They're a fuck up to try to remember what you drank. So tonight I picked up the Malevolent Ben Elephants, which I know, another great one to say, especially after way too many drinks after that game. Here's the thing. They release the same type of beer, but we'll tinker with it all the time.
Yeah.
So I hadn't been there in a couple weeks.
You mean like tinkering
weeks.
With your penalty kill?
Oh, fuck me. So today I picked up one that was called the Mint Chocolate Chip Imperial Stout.
Hello.
Yeah, it was delicious. It was also 11%. So a half liter at 11%, you know how I'm feeling right now.
Awesome.
But I needed that during the third period. So,
sure.
Listen, this day has caught me through that. I just drank a half bottle of wine, like you said, in my pint glass. I didn't even wash it. I just put it right in the pint glass. That starts now.
What a fucking savage.
So now I'm going right to the Jameson. It's just that type of night. I was just looking at this bottle I picked up while I was in the U.S. called Proper 12. It's the Conor McGregor whiskey.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, is this the night I open this? And I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I want to believe the first time I tried, I want to taste it. And today I'm just too pissed
off.
No,
exactly. Yeah.
We're just going to go with the old reliable here and go with Jameson.
Yeah.
I'm still pissed.
I mentioned off the top, if you'd asked me to do this a year ago, I probably couldn't have. I was too sad. This year, I'm more angry than sad. Why don't we talk about Babcock for a second? Look, I'm pissed at him right now. I don't know what he's thinking. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know if he's the right coach for this team. But I have zero belief that they're firing him this summer. What are your thoughts on that?
How many years does he have left? You'll know this better than I do.
One more. I think it's totally fair, and I'm one of the people doing it, to come in questioning his judgment right now, right? But I don't think he gets fired for it. I think he's going to get another season where, if you want to call it this, he's on the hot seat. He would have 3 years left on his deal. It was an 8-year contract. This was the end of year four. And look, the Leafs, if they want to, they can afford to fire him. But Kyle Dubas is a young GM, still getting his feet wet with one of the most experienced coaches in the league, one who's got a reputation, albeit dwindling every day. I think he would have a hard time selling Shanny.
I got to stop you there.
All right.
Why do you think Dubas has a dwindling...
No, sorry. Babcock has a dwindling reputation every day.
Okay.
But I still think it would be hard for Dubas to go to Shanny and the board knowing that they're going to pay him $6 million or whatever it is.
6.25.
Yeah, he and Marlo. For another 4 years and let the whiz kid, who I support, I like what he's doing here. I like what he's building here. But I'm not sure the board will allow them to fire Mike Babcock. And even if they did, is it for Sheldon Keefe, right? Are you sold enough on that guy based on the Marlies, who won a Calder Cup, is by all accounts someone that other NHL teams are interested in, but to coach this team as they try and get over the hump in Toronto, I don't know.
Here's the thing that comes into play, right? Sheldon Keefe. What did he just sign for? They just paid him to be the highest paid AHL coach.
Yep.
What was I'm just trying
I don't
to
know what the number is, but but they're trying to keep him from leaving, right? But if an NHL job comes, it'd be hard to force him to stay.
What I'm seeing here is I'm trying to figure this out. Says it is the highest paid job in the AHL.
You should be, right? You should be. If you're a guy that the Leafs have dubbed as, you know, one of the richest teams in the league that you want to keep around, they should be paying him a lot. It was just like Dubas, right? They blocked him from going to Colorado a couple of years ago, said, wait it out, it's going to be your time, and gave him a bit of a raise and said, stick around.
And don't forget, Sheldon Keefe comes from which team in the OHL, Matt?
Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds. Dubas is
where did Dubas come from?
Yeah, exactly. Sault Ste. Marie, yeah.
Yeah. Ah, man, you gotta think there's something in the background of this. And I was kind of alluded to this earlier in my, you know, the text messages with one of my buddies, and he said, a guy who played fairly high-end hockey, and he said to me, there's something in the water here, right? Like, there's something going on. I said, yeah, you know what? I don't know who doesn't like who, but Matthews and Babcock just aren't on the same page.
How could they be? You can't put Matthews on the bench in the third of game seven again?
My buddy messaged me and said, is this just Babcock being too old, or is Matthews a bitch? And I said, well, you know what? I don't know. Like, do we know yet?
No, we don't. I know he's got 5 goals in 7 games in this series, and I'm fine with his output.
That's all I would say. Listen, and again, Toronto is a very, as big of a city as Toronto is,
yeah,
it's also a very small city. And, you know, if you're downtown enough, you're in the right places enough, you know people who know people.
That's true. Matty Lang's our insider on a lot of things. He keeps hearing from people. He knows
things. I keep hearing things. And to be honest, you know what? And maybe it's just the younger guys, but the last incarnation up to about 3 years ago, you'd hear a lot of stuff about guys. You always knew where the guys were. You always knew which bars they were in.
Yeah.
The Leafs are very – and that was even during the Lamoriello years.
Sure.
Now you don't hear anything.
Loophole's coked out somewhere again. And allegedly.
Exactly. Exactly. Now it's quiet.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because – what would he read in the other day? It was like, you know, they're all playing Fortnite at Patty Marleau's house. I don't know. Maybe that's what they're doing. You just don't hear this stuff anymore, so you never get like that inside scoop as much as we all used to in this city.
Yeah.
But there's something up with these two, right? And Matthews has questioned the power play before. He's questioned some of the playing stuff before.
And the power play.
The play sets.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. And I mean, the power play was fucking putrid.
Yes.
Fucking putrid.
For the amount of talent you had, what do you... Look, this was half the thing, right? Going into coming out of the series last year, there was all this talk, and I don't know how serious it was. I think there was something there. I don't know if it was as big as Sportsnet would play it up to be, but that there was a beef between Matthews and Babcock at the end of the year, and Babcock flew down to Arizona to talk to him before jetting off to Worlds and whatever else was going to happen, right? But that they needed to have this come to Jesus moment, and one of the big things was that Matthews was on the second power play. And quite frankly, the first power play, which was Riley with Kadri, Marner, Bozak, who was basically the, you know, the decoy on the far side, and JVR down low. And that power play last year with those guys was not just good, but was great. Like one of the top power plays in the salary cap era ever. So you could, but Matthews wanted to be on it. He's your top guy. And I get that, right? So you come back this year and you almost sort of force feed it and into this thing that didn't work. Do I think he should be on your top power play? Yes, I do. But do I think this particular version of it was overly successful? Yeah, not really, right? So there was some beef there last year. I don't know how serious it was. I don't know if it's irreparable. I don't know. But I was watching coming off that power play, the fourth line come out in the third period, play a little, and we had seen one shift for Matthews in 4 minutes in a game where you're down in a game seven in the third period, and you are leaving Austin Matthews on the bench again, and I have no idea what the thought process was there, but I don't agree with it at all. You better get your top horses out there, and you better whip them into the ground. I said, and Rob's going to be in studio on Wednesday. I'm sure he'll have his shitty take on this when he gets.
You know
in.
Who I'm not. You know who I don't want to hear hockey takes from?
Rob.
Fucking Rob. That is the last guy I want to hear any sort of fucking hockey.
We got
from.
We got a tweet.
You know
a couple-
he didn't. You know he didn't watch a goddamn game of this series.
He did. He watched all of them, but he made up his mind long before it started, and he just stuck to that take. And we got a tweet, a great one, a week or two ago that said, can't wait to hear what Rob says during the first intermission of the next Tall Can Sports, which is a pretty sweet fucking
was so, that just Rob and his burner account though? Like
no, I think this was someone else saying that Rob's the new Don Cherry, right? This out of touch fucking whatever. So we'll get to that on Wednesday, right? But and I've lost my train of thought. But just yeah, no, it's gone. We turned ripping on Rob, and that's okay. We can do that. I just think that you can't leave your top guys sitting there. Oh, that was what it was. Earlier today, I exchanged a couple of emails with Rob where I said, you know what? Even if we go down tonight, if Tavares and Matthews both have nights where their minutes start with 23, I'm okay. I'm pissed that we lost, but you ride those guys into the ground. You can keep bringing that fourth line out, but Goat's on the bench, and Matthews and Tavares are taking turns between Ennis and Moore, right? Like, that's how that's got to go.
100%.
Those horses 100% need to both be at 23 minutes if you're going to lose, and neither of them came close.
The reason you have, I'm going to go on a limb here and say the second or third, I'm going to say the third best center combos in the league, mm-hmm. probably behind Edmonton and behind Pittsburgh.
Yep.
It's because you want to roll these fucking guys out all day long down the throats
over
of the other team.
And over and over.
Seven fucking games, not just one game.
That's right.
You want to feed these guys
that
down
the
throats.
That was the only reason during the entire regular season where you go, well, here's another night, a random Tuesday against Carolina where, you know, Tavares at 18 minutes, Matthews at 17:50. You go, they better just be resting them for the playoffs when you're going to whip the horses. And they didn't. They didn't.
This was some of the text messages we were exchanging with, I'm just looking up his name now, David to my peers. Yeah. Because he was interacting with us earlier and we both had the same
on
thought
Twitter,
process on
Twitter at Talk and Audio, yeah.
Exactly. You know what? And, you know, I'm a fucking Belichick guy. The regular season doesn't matter when you know where your spot's going to be.
That's right.
You're fucking making your paces. 82 game is way too long for 82 games. So you kind of get there. We knew we were going to be about 60 games in. You're resting your guys. You want to make sure we got some likes. I'm all on fucking board on this whole process. But come game one of the playoffs, those guys are playing 25 fucking minutes.
Have to. Especially once Kadri does what apparently he's going to do every year.
You gotta fucking play these guys. You know, it doesn't matter who your fucking third line center is at this point. Yeah. You just gotta fucking play these guys. And that's it. That's just an inability to adapt by that coaching staff or an unwillingness to adapt by that coaching staff. And either way, it's fucking nuts. You can't have two top 10 guys in the league. You want to talk about centers? That's two top five centers in the league.
Wow.
You can't fucking do this.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, we can argue over the rankings all day. It doesn't matter. You have two top horses. You better fucking ride them. Right? Like, I think 2 years ago or whenever it was when Edmonton went on a bit of a run there, you would have said McDavid was best in the world. You wouldn't yet have had Draisaitl in that top 10, 15 centers in the world conversation. And part of that was because he played some on the wing with, but they rode those fucking guys. And I was exchanging some text today with our Western correspondent, Dean. And, you know, I expected him to gloat a little more as an anti-Leafs guy. He wasn't really doing, but I said to him, I said, your management is fucking terrible, but at least your coaches knew enough to ride your fucking guys. Like Draisaitl, you never would have looked at him and go, he's not getting enough minutes. Same with Connor. You know, they rode those fuckers. They just couldn't find any wingers to support them. Why this coach will not ride your, for his own good, right? For it's like he's sitting there trying to tell you, I'm going to be right. Or we're just going to lose. Well, one of those things happened, man. And you know what? There's been a ton of shit on Willie. I'm not willing to pile on that. Were the things he could have done better? Yeah, of course. But he went into Game 7. I don't know how Game 7 finishes in terms of impacting these stats. But tied for second in the entire series in 5-on-5 points. So he's doing fine despite having a couple of black holes on either side of him on the wing. Right? He's outscoring his opposition 4-1 at 5-on-5. Marner is getting outscored 4-1 at it, but we don't talk about that, right? We love it. There's a certain amount of, and I don't know how much we want to get into this tonight because we're both loaded and whatever, but there's a certain amount of weird, still old school European racism at work there that says Swedish Willie, despite the fact that he was born in Calgary, is soft, and our good Canadian boy Mitch is getting it done. In this series, that's not how that played out at all. And I'm sitting there, I'm watching Landsberg and Koliakovo on the TSN morning show talking about how Willie's series is a disaster. Like,
listen, again, here's my issue. Sorry, it's better to get off topic here, yeah, man. But yeah. I can't stand the guys who, 75% of the guys who are on TV,
yeah,
for the solo reason that they might be better looking than some of the other guys, because let's be honest, hockey players are the fucking best looking guys in the league.
A couple cross checks to the face will remove some teeth and some years on TV.
Just ask Colby Armstrong how his nose looks right now. You know, it's a tough game to play, don't get me wrong, and not all of them are super eloquent. But the guys who end up on TV are the guys whose career end too soon. Don't tell me – I don't want to listen to Carlo Koliakovo, a guy who couldn't get through 40 games in a season. Yeah. Tell me who's soft and who's not.
Yeah, that's a good point, man.
I don't want to listen to Nick Kyprios tell me who's a skilled fucking player when I treated a guy who was his coach back in St. John's who said he was the worst fucking pro hockey player he's ever seen. This guy couldn't skate, and mind you, maybe he could at some point, but not after that many concussions, a guy who could skate and receive a pass.
He's still on TV after Game 7 went to the third period as a one-goal game talking about whether the Leafs are heavy enough. You know, what are you doing, man?
Fucking bullshit.
What are you talking about? Even through the first six games, the Leafs out-hit Boston. It's not about being heavy. This Toronto team has some stuff they need to fix up. The defense, while much better than anyone expected it to be, was not as good as Boston's. And you lost a third line center who impacts everything. Impacts your power play, impacts your minutes for Marleau, all these sorts of things. You had to then piece this back together. And I see Nazem Kadri on Twitter after Morgan Riley misses out on being nominated for the Norris. And there's a part of me that goes, hey, shut the fuck up. You hurt us, right? You cost us in this series. And I don't need to hear your lippy tweet about who's nominated for the Norris. I think it's great that you want to stick up for your teammate. But for right now, until we get through this series, whether we're going to or not, you need to shut up, right? You need to be invisible because you hurt us. That's not part of Nazem Kadri's make. And we'll have tons of time to talk about that. Before we wrap this up, let me get your take on two things. On Freddie, because we touched on this a little earlier, and you kind of, well, we both directed this off in a few different directions. Are you satisfied with Freddie's performance in this series and in this Game 7? And if it were up to you, would Babs be back? You can take those in whatever order you want, my man, while I sit back and sip on my second rum beverage of the show.
So while we were ranting there, I just pulled up Twitter. I just wanted to see what was going on in the Twitter sphere.
Is it just on fucking fire?
It's obviously on fire, right? But I was looking more for the mentions and stuff that we were getting earlier, and there's still some people hitting us up. And,
yeah.
So I know you're on your setup there, so you can't see some of these things coming. So there's a couple more responses to some stuff that we were saying. There's a very interesting one. There's some Boston fans saying this. I'm sorry to, you know, the Leaf fans who follow me because of the NHL. This is unacceptable. Tavares Muzzin ads and you still get the same result. This is on the coaching staff. So it's coming from the same side.
Right.
One of the guys who covers Boston, word from the Bruins dressing room, they didn't do anything different on the power play or penalty kill, and we're surprised the Leafs didn't play their power play more.
Mm-hmm.
This seems to be a constant thing, man. Like from Toronto and from Boston. Fuck. I'm going to go to the Kadri thing first because don't get me wrong. I was on it first. I don't think it's acceptable to blame everything on your third line center. As important as this guy is, you know, the Penguins wouldn't have, if something had happened to Jordan Staal back in the day, they're not blaming everything on
Jordan Staal because they've, got Malkin and Crosby. And granted, those guys are, in fact, for a while they were 1 and 2 in the world.
But that's the tipping point.
So slightly different, but.
Right. If you saw off Tavares and Bergeron and even Matthews and Krejci, which you didn't have to because Matthews is better, Kadri's better than Charlie Coyle. That's where you start to run into trouble, right? That's my take.
I get it. I get that. But it's still not an excuse. I still think we were a much better team. And the inability of this staff to adapt anything and to say in game six, it was one thing at home and you're like, okay, we're going to run our guys. We're down by a goal, whatever it is. We're just going to run them out. We're going to see how this goes.
Yeah.
And it didn't turn out the way we wanted. You go, okay.
Did it ever not?
So now you go into Boston and you're down by 2. Now we're down by 1. We're down by 2 again. And you're like, okay, but there's still 50 minutes left in this fucking game. And you're still rolling out your fourth line team. And you're still fucking rolling out Patty Marleau.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, well, we need to run. No, you don't need to roll these guys fucking out. What you need to do is move fucking Nylander up to one of the top 2 lines.
Yeah.
And fucking have at it. And then if we lose, then we lost.
Well, and I think that's important, right? Let's say you go to the Tavares line, you move Kapanen off of Matthews' line, and Nylander goes up, and then once every 3 or 4 minutes, you're going to Marleau between whatever, Moore and Kapanen, right? But that's a space filler just to get back to Tavares and Marner, then to Matthews and Nylander. But you stop playing your fourth line for sure, and certainly your third line as it's constructed. You have to move. You have to stop being so stubborn. Sorry, I kind of took over.
But I love that fire from you.
Well, because fuck, I'm pissed, man.
But it's like we've talked about this a million times. So, like, you got a guy like Moore who's firing. You got a guy like Ennis who's firing. Move those guys up in the lineup for the odd fucking
because the GOAT is not fine. So keep alternating those centers into his spot. You can keep running those wingers, but he's got to go.
That's just – this is the way hockey works. For people who have never played actual competitive hockey, let me tell you, I've been that fourth line center. I've sat the whole third period on the fucking bench. This is the way it happens in junior hockey.
Right.
Because I never got any farther because I'm 5'7". That's just the way it fucking is.
And brown.
And brown. Listen.
But there's something to that.
We'll save that for the Nazem Kadri cut because honest to God, if anybody wants to hear stories about a brown guy in hockey at tryouts, let me tell you how that goes. You're the guy whose number keeps getting called out during tryouts until you get off the ice and you're changing and they're looking around and they're like, hey, we didn't catch you in the dressing room. You're like, no, you walked right by me.
You're the fucking guy in the Happy Gilmore fucking thing where he hammers it 6 feet wide of the net, shatters it. Is that net regulation size or what? Maybe next year, Happy. Sorry, I've lost track of what we're supposed to talk about. Holy fuck. I told you. There should be no pod tonight, people. But
there was a reason we said no pod. There was a reason.
Holy fuck.
But listen, I'll go back to this, though.
Yeah.
There's no reason a fourth-line center is going to feel offended by not playing in the fucking third period.
Especially a bad one.
Yeah. He knows who he is. He knows what his role is.
Yeah.
He's not surprised. He shouldn't even be fucking expecting to play tonight.
Right.
That's insane. By any fucking metric, by any old school hockey metric, that's insane.
So,
I'm not talking about analytics, anything like this.
No.
This is old school fucking hockey.
Yeah, you shorten the bench. That's what anyone would do in that situation.
Out.
Yeah.
You're throwing your horses out and you're living and dying by those.
Yeah.
And listen, this team might still have lost if we had shortened our bench in game six and shortened our bench in game 7.
Could be.
There's still a very good chance we lose. But you know what? Then it's on the players.
Yeah.
Then it's more on a guy like Kadri. The reason I don't get upset with Kadri is because obviously I feel he gets a fucking shit stick from the fucking league. And he gets a shit from the fucking refs, and he gets a he gets a fucking short stick everywhere he goes.
You're just a member of the secret Brown Club. That's the problem.
But you know what? Here's the fucking problem with it, right?
Yeah.
You want that to be your third line center?
Yes.
If he doesn't play with that edge?
That's exactly right.
Right? Here's the problem. A guy like Marleau goes around licking fucking guys, biting fingers.
Easy. Marchand, not Marleau.
Yeah. Sorry. Marchand.
Patrick Marleau cannot keep up with people to lick them at this point.
Good point. Sorry. Marchand is licking people. He's fucking biting fingers for fucking years and nobody says a fucking word.
Yeah.
Right?
Unless you live in Nova Scotia.
Unless you live in Vancouver.
Yeah.
But you got a guy like Char who's cheap shotting guys all over the place. It's going to come out that Tavares had a concussion tomorrow because he got cheap shotted behind his back. He didn't even know it was coming.
I don't remember who it was on. Happened. Maybe you will. In game six, Zdeno Chara, all 6'9 of him, jumped into someone and elbowed them in the head. You're 6'9. The elbow is gruesome enough. You don't need to jump. And here we are.
You can elbow him from your feet.
Towards the end of the second period in Game 7, he punched out John Tavares. Like, there's no way around that. There's no biased Toronto fan. There is video that they're talking about on the Sportsnet second intermission show where he throws a left jab and KOs Tavares, essentially.
Like, Tavares is
and at that time,
at somebody else.
In that moment, like Jim Houston, right, before they go to commercial, before they go to break up the what, they're talking about the scrum, and Jim Houston says, and as usual, Zdeno Chara comes in as the peacemaker. The peacemaker? He punched out Toronto's top guy. That's not peacemaker. That's go to the fucking box and potentially be suspended. But no, we like Bishop would not. Audrey and Hulk Hogan, I'd knock you out.
Listen,
you fuck.
We want to talk about somebody who has to leave.
Yes.
Somebody who needs to get out of the fucking room. Before Babcock goes, Jim Houston needs to get the fuck off the Leaf games. I'm sick of this shit.
Look, for me, I know there's been a lot of talk about Jim Houston and Craig Simpson. I don't think they hate the Leafs like most of Leafs Twitter think. I just think they're bad at their job. I just think they stink.
I actually do. I'm going to fight you on this one because Jim Houston was very happy calling his West Coast games.
Yep.
He was super happy calling his Canucks. You know who Craig Simpson is? Craig Simpson's the guy whose father said, hey, Maple Leafs, don't draft me back in the 80s.
Yeah, that's true.
Craig Simpson's the guy who's trying to defend himself saying, well, Boston Canadian fans hate me too. Listen, Jim Houston, they don't have to listen to you call every Saturday night game every year. And you're biased shit. Your job is not to fucking be straight down the middle. Your job is to be a Maple Leaf goddamn commentator in Hockey Night in Canada. Either get the fuck on board or get the fuck off and give me back Bob Cole.
So I'm going to do this, man. Bob Cole is
senile.
I'm going to...
I don't fucking care.
Here's the thing. Calling Dmitry Kristich
goals.
Bob Cole
for years has been doing this. Well, here comes Sundin. Oh, and here comes the Red Wings down with the puck. The Red Wings defender.
The Ottawa Sens.
I love that Bob Cole doesn't know who the fuck plays on the other team.
That's right.
I'm not a fan of the other team. Okay. I don't give a shit. This is a Leaf broadcast. Get the fuck on board with that shit.
So this is teetering, as most of the entire show has, on the insanity. Let's call it, as I stumble over my own fucking... So you have either intentionally or unintentionally sidestepped the question repeatedly. What do you think of Freddie's performance tonight?
Oh, sorry. No, I just got off topic there. Yeah. You let me
for like 22
far.
Minutes.
Once I'm on to Jim Houston, it's off.
I think we talked about.
I
should we pod tonight? Should we not pod tonight? No, we're good. Let's do it.
Freddie was our MVP all season.
Yep.
I don't have the stats in front of me right now because I've stepped away from the laptop.
I can't read anymore.
And you can't read. So there we are.
Not just anymore.
Here we are.
Just in general, you're illiterate. I'm illiterate. Whatever. Pint glasses of wine and triple rum and cokes for 6 straight hours. It'll fuck you up.
or get you just right where you
need. Sure. Yeah. Whatever. No, I can't wait to edit tonight. That's going to be fun. This is going up raw, man. This is going to be whatever. This is going straight up.
There's going to be absolutely zero editing. That's true. I love it.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to pull this up as we're talking, but listen, Freddie, to me, I thought played a great series.
Yeah.
I've watched that first goal a couple times now as we've been talking.
Yeah.
It was a weak goal. It shouldn't sneak through.
If he doesn't have a shit game 7 last year, does that goal bug you? Like, you're still kind of going, I wish that hadn't gone in. But that's such a fluky goal, right? That's not a out of position. It's like, I can't believe that found a hole, right?
Yeah, he was in position, and I've watched it a couple times going, how did that even
How does that go in? It? Yes.
We go back to game 6's goal with Marchand, right? Like, he was in position.
Yeah.
It's a fluky shot. It goes off Hainsey, takes a weird bounce, goes behind him.
That's right.
And you're like, fuck. Okay, well, that's just the break sometimes. You got to look at – I hate the fact – and, I mean, it's game 7, so we all look at it this way, but – I hate looking at just one game, especially with a goalie.
Yeah.
And it's hard.
That is what I'm asking you.
But that's why you put it on a goalie, right? It's like looking at a starting pitcher who goes into game 7 or a closer who goes into game 7.
Yep.
In the eighth inning or whatever it is, right? In the ninth inning. Man, this guy has been fucking fantastic. He let up one weak goal.
Yeah. That's where I'm at, man.
One weak goal. He still came out with a .900 save percentage today. Tuukka Rask was .970 for fuck's sakes.
Yeah. Today.
Today.
Yeah.
.970 today. This isn't on Freddie, man. On Freddie one bit.
You'd like to have Freddie get that first one. The second one is not on him at all. The third one is kind of weird. And the fifth one is completely irrelevant because everyone had stopped skate. The fifth one is at like 0.3 seconds. They just counted it and didn't even take the face off, right? It was what it was.
Listen, going into today, so in 6 games, he'd given up 16 goals.
Yep.
That's fucking fantastic.
Yeah. That's
In today's NHL, that is fucking fantastic. In the offense that exists today, that's outstanding.
Well, especially considering how much they gave up in game 2, right? Like, that completely skewed the average. They weren't good. He was. I won't say Freddie was great tonight, but he wasn't bad tonight. He was fine.
He was better than his regular season over this playoffs.
Yes. Through 6 games, Freddie was our MVP. Tonight, I would call him fine. I wouldn't call him great, but I wouldn't call him the problem either. So, look, and they're still at the end of the game. They're going, what are you going to do about Freddie? How do you get him some help into this shitty Sportsnet panel? I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't know what you're looking at when you say this stuff. You got Freddie the Goat playing a third of the game. Not quite. That was an exaggeration. But still, I just.
It felt like it, though.
Yes.
It felt like
I don't think Freddie was the problem tonight. I had no problem when everybody shit on Freddie in game 7 last year. He wasn't good. We only remember Jake being bad, but man, Freddie was bad in game 7 last year. Freddie is half the reason we got to game 7 this year, and I would call his performance in this game fine.
Yeah, it was...
It wasn't great, but it wasn't bad.
He was better than average.
Yeah.
Which is really a team that's offensively skilled as the Leafs.
Yeah.
All you really want.
All you need. Yeah.
Don't forget, this is a country who still thinks Grant Fuhr was a great goalie.
Woohoo!
So, you know what? If Freddie Anderson wasn't born in Denmark and he was born in Alberta, but maybe that doesn't work because, like we said with Nylander, he was born in Alberta.
Yeah, we just don't like to remember that.
The name throws people off. I don't know.
Sweet. Oh, okay. I guess. If that matters.
And I don't know if they talk about this shit the same way in the U.S. with other sports, I know this is a thing that just drives me nuts about.
You know what they talk about in the U.S.
and-
is Tom fucking Brady tweeting about Zdeno Chara, and he can go fuck himself.
Listen, I've got some girlfriends who just absolutely love.
Look at this fucking guy. He's got Edelman. Some girlfriends. Could you share a couple? Hoarding girlfriends.
Just hoarding them all over here right now. Just they're hide them all. In the
yeah, no, I know. He's got like extra closets in his place. He's whatever, just stock full of girlfriends.
Yeah, I had more than one message me Edelman's picture being like, I fucking hate this guy.
So not only does he have multiple girlfriends, he has multiple girlfriends who recognize Julian Edelman during a Toronto Boston Game 7 and text him, share the wealth, you fucker. I don't want Julian Edelman girlfriends though. That'll never work out. I need like.
He's the only NFL player shorter than me, so.
Well, I need CFL girlfriends. Call me when they recognize hockey players. Holy fuck, man.
Listen, I mean, to wrap that point up, yeah, man, yeah. Freddie was good.
Yep.
Freddie today was good. During the series, he was better than good. Was he great at any point? I don't know if he was great at any point, but he made saves he needed to make.
He was great through most of the series. He just wasn't great tonight. He was just good.
I want to say, as a game overall, you're never like, wow, Freddie stole that game. And I don't know if that's what sometimes Leaf fans are expecting to hear.
Yeah.
Today, there was one point in the second period, at the end of the second period, he kept us in it yes. at 2-1.
That's right.
He made some very good saves in those last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
That just, you're like, oh my God, we are only down by one goal because of Freddie at this point.
Yep. It's true, man.
And this is it. The problem was the third period came out and we didn't respond. We looked flat at the beginning of the third period. We came out great in the second period. We did not come out great in the third period. And you can't put that on your goalie when the entire team is fucking slagging behind and holding their stick too tight. Fucking, I texted you a couple times. There was points in the second period it was for ours to take.
Yep.
And we just kept fucking missing the net.
Would you – is it too easy then? Is it too easy to just blame Babcock? And the way he used the bench?
I don't think it's an easy – I don't think that's the easy call. I think that's the legitimate call right now, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And you're talking to the guy like – this is me saying I was with Babcock all year.
Yeah.
I do think he's a good coach.
Me too.
But I think for whatever reason – you were the guy who said, well, he's the stubborn guy. And, you know yeah. what? I don't have a problem with you being the stubborn guy. Because I think sometimes too many people change things up too quickly and don't stick to their guns enough. And that tells me they're not planning enough because they're not confident enough.
Right.
But to me, Babcock in the last two games, it felt like he was trying to prove a point.
That's – yeah. I felt that too.
He went from being, this is my plan – and this is how I'm going to show you guys you're wrong.
But always in his back pocket, if it didn't work, he could do exactly what he did tonight on the podium. Say, well,
fucking throw people in the goddamn
bus. If Kadri
bus.
Doesn't get hurt, then this works. You're like, well, maybe no one doesn't.
Which I love. And again, not to throw it on fucking Kadri, but for all the people who fucking hate Kadri all the time, this is then one of the five best coaches in the league saying, well, this is clearly why we lost. My guy Nazem, he's not here. You know, like that's the double-edged sword.
The real downtown
Nazem
Brown.
Kadri, right? The real downtown Brown. Nazem Kadri.
Yeah, you know what? We'll have tons of time.
I mean, that drives me nuts too because it's a double-edged sword that he carries, right?
Yes, that's
everybody.
Right.
Most
you sit around and you go, fan, we need you, know you to play is. That way. And then when he plays that way, you're like, hey, don't do that. Right.
Exactly. I'm trying to think of another guy who used to be like that. And I'm
Matt Cook.
Matt Cook's a good one. I'm thinking of somebody from Vancouver right now during that run. And I just can't
Rafi
quite.
Torres? Maxim?
Rafi Torres, thank
or,
you.
Or Maxim Pierre, yeah.
Yeah, all those guys, right? You want those guys to play on the edge. Even, I know, to a lesser extent, a guy like Domi, right, when he took out Niedermayer, it actually did cost at least a little bit there.
Yeah, with the flying Macho Man elbow.
Yeah. Now, that's a fucking dirty play.
For sure it was. That was awful.
going after
the phenomenal forearm.
Should Kadri have done what he did? No. But listen, for all these guys on TV, and specifically Sportsnet, who go off on the code all the time, and then when Nazem Kadri goes after a guy who tried to end his career with a knee injury, give me a fucking break. Give me a fucking break. If Kiprios is going to sit there and tell me he wouldn't have done that shit, the only difference is nobody was trying to end Kiprios' career because nobody gave a shit.
Well, Jim Vandermeer ended it pretty quick, I think. Well,
hey, even that's a low blow. Come on.
I'm sorry. Punched him out in a hurry. I think it's Vandermeer or Vandenbush or one of those.
That might have actually given Kiprios a career because it put him out at the right time to jump on Sportsnet when they had nobody.
You know what? We're at well over an hour. I thought this would be more like a 20-minute kind of you spew your venom, I spew mine, and we get the fuck out of here.
Who are you?
Wow. Honestly.
Who are you with the 20 minutes spewing?
That's sort of what I saw, because it was not supposed to be a show tonight. And normally when we do the big long shows like this, it's because there's multiple. The Raptors won tonight. They're moving on. For anyone who cares about that right now, and I know a lot of you do, and I suddenly do a lot more than I did 4 hours ago. But this was, I was going to spew my venom, you were going to spew yours, and we were going to move along. But man, there's a ton to unload here. And I know, you know, we said to a lot of yous, there wouldn't be a show like this tonight.
For this reason.
Because of this. But here it is.
Matt, just to interrupt you, because you did bring up a bright point there in the Raptors. Woo! And a couple people messaged me and say, well, don't worry, Maddie, you still got the Raptors. And all I could respond to them was, I know, but you guys clearly don't understand the Leafs.
And that's
it. You don't understand what it is to be a Leaf fan if you're only
because
a Raptor
anyone
fan.
Who would have texted that to me would have received a size 13 Kodiak in the fucking face.
Well, that's all I said to people. It was like, you just don't understand. You don't understand what it is to be a Toronto a true Toronto Maple Leaf fan.
Perennially not, suffering.
Not a, hey, we're interested when it's playoffs. Hey, we moved here. It's kind of a thing to do.
Yeah.
Our friends do it. Hey, we're a fan of another team. It doesn't get it. These people don't understand what it is to be a Leaf fan. To be a Leaf fan is a year-long commitment. It's a lifetime commitment. It's a thing that you do.
Yeah.
And like, some of us get more upset during the regular season and off season. Like, we're not the type of guys to get like too bent out of shape over a move in the off season, generally speaking, when it comes to the Leafs. But when it comes to this shit, man, when it comes to this shit, like, when you've lived through it the 35 years we have, and people say like, oh, why don't you just watch another team?
Ah!
No, you don't understand.
Your team sucks.
You don't understand fandom, right? Like, we've talked about it as Vegas Knights just took a 2-0 lead. It's under review right now.
Okay.
My friend right now in Vegas is like, well, you know, you can still cheer for Vegas. And I'm like, no. I want Vegas to do well. I like Vegas.
I might like
the way they're built.
But it won't be the same.
I like Vegas because you like Vegas, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But you don't get the fucking suffering we've had. And for me and you, you know, really since 92. I mean, really before that, they were just fucking shitty all the time. But really the suffering that happens and how much we care and how much is – the only people get – and sadly, the only people that actually can fucking understand this are fucking – Boston Red Sox fans. And
no,
the Cubs
they
fans.
Can't. Cubs because can't. They won recently. The Red Sox have won like three times in the last.
No, but like fans of those teams who have followed them for that many years can understand.
I can relate now, to Boston Red Sox fans of 2003. After that year.
Sorry, last year's Boston Red Sox fans. Not the ones who just
Cubs
jumped
fans
up bandwagon.
Who won in 16 or whatever it was. I get your pain.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
These are fans that understand what you go through and what you are. And for fuck's sakes, I hope we don't have to wait 116 years because I'm not going to live that fucking
no,
long.
I'm not.
Not the way this team makes me drink. I'm not going to last this long. I fuck it all.
No. You and I, we both have a friend who is a Canadian Paralympic athlete. Her name's Amy Burke. And she likes to do, well, I challenged her at one point to do like the step counter thing. And I got crushed because, of course, I did.
And she's a Paralympic athlete.
Yes, because she's an athlete and I'm a fat schlub. And I'm like, well, why don't we compare heart rates during hockey games? And she's like, oh, I guess we could do that if you want. But she's still got like a heart that's in good condition because she's a fucking athlete. And I'm like, well, my resting heart rate is at like 70. And then my Leaf game heart rate is at like 130. And you're like, yeah, I'm just sitting here. I was texting with somebody during the pregame show.
Matt,
I'm going to let you finish. During the pregame show. I'm texting with someone, and I said, my heart rate before puck drop is at 95, and that's fucking stupid. Now you take it.
Okay, so...
Jesus I'm just Christ, sitting sorry. Here.
No, no. Okay, so if you want a good example of heart rate training and heart rate, where you get to, okay, so my sitting heart rate is 52, okay?
You should see a doctor.
My sitting heart rate
is too low.
52. I'm barely alive.
Yeah, no.
I'm barely alive. You know, when all those girlfriends text me about Julian Edelman and they're like, you don't have a heart. I'm like, no, I don't. I basically
hit up
don't.
At Matthew Lang, hashtag all those girlfriends.
I basically am heartless. So.
Yeah.
It's right on my Tinder profile. I think that's half the catch. No, I wasn't wearing my heart
at
rate
Tinder
monitor.
Tinder or at Grindr profile? What are we talking
about? Both.
All right. I like that, man. You, why
hey,
limit your options?
Hey, right. Why?
Yeah.
I can tell you specifically the day. It was during the AFC final. So the two teams I live and die by, obviously the Maple Leafs, and for everybody who follows this podcast for long enough back when it was first starting, I'm also a very staunch and Tom Brady and Patriot fan. So. It's hey, they're the New England Patriots, not the Boston Patriots. Don't forget that.
Yeah.
So during that game against it was the Kansas City Chiefs, and Kansas City was should have just absolutely dominated the Patriots. They're the young up and coming team. We were the old team. We're on the off end of it. And during that fourth quarter, when there was something crazy like four touchdowns, my heart rate went from 52
yeah.
when the Patriots were scoring and winning and fucking just scratching for their life. It went up to 170. The highest recorded heart rate I have on my monitor, my sport monitor,
yeah.
is 180 while playing hockey with seven guys.
Yeah.
We only had one sub,
yeah.
and my heart rate only got to 180. Watching football
watching.
For an AFC.
That's what I'm saying, man.
It got up to 175 when we scored that go-ahead touchdown.
Fuck.
I mean, if that doesn't tell you what fandom is.
Well, like I said.
Geez, it went up three times.
So your resting heart rate should be corpse is sort of where we're at. Mine yeah. sits around 65 to 70, whatever.
A normal human being.
Yeah. And I'm sitting there during the pregame texting with a friend who couldn't matter or couldn't care less. And she's going, you know, are you ready? I'm like, is this what you wanted to text me about? Because you got to fuck off in a couple of minutes here because you don't care. So we can't talk, right? But it's the pregame. And she's like, how's your heart rate? And I check. I'm like, it's 95. The puck hasn't dropped yet. What's happening?
What is wrong with me?
Honest to God. I might be a couple of rums deep at that point, but still. Honest
well,
to God.
Well, you think that would have calmed you down a bit.
Well, you'd think.
You
know
get off the spice rum, I guess.
Yeah. We got to wind this down. I'm going to give you the floor if you got anything last. We're going to be all over this. Obviously, you're going to be back on. The Raptors are moving on as they smash the Magic in five, just like you predicted. So we'll tee up their second round matchup, and you'll be back for that. But any last thoughts on the Leaf thing here as we wind this down? As I said, this has gone way longer than I would have thought. But I think there's a lot of Leaf fans out there feeling what we're feeling right now. And so I'm going to give you the floor, man.
Well, no, I think this was, just to reiterate that, I think this was a heartfelt, off the cuff, no plan,
yeah.
podcasts, and sometimes I think that's the best thing. You know, it's very, very emotional pod for both of us, obviously.
I'm going to interrupt just for a second because I think it's entirely possible that when some of you wake up in the morning and maybe listen to this on your way to work or whatever you might do, I know some people, and God bless you, are waiting around for us to release this, and you're our most hardcore fans. We love you for it. But it's entirely possible that when some of you hear this, it comes out that, I don't know, Austin Matthews had a broken neck or whatever it might be, right? There's stuff, this is off the cuff, and we told you we wouldn't do a show like this, and yet here we are. There's always stuff that comes out, and so if you're listening to this 2 days later and going, yeah, but it turns out, just stop. Right, this is off the cuff. This is emotional, and this is what it is. So,
listen, I know, and you know what? Calgary got eliminated the other day, and it came out that Giordano had the broken thumb, or was it Monahan? I don't know. Somebody had a broken goddamn thumb. Doesn't matter. It was in Calgary. If it comes out that Austin Matthews had a broken hand, right, all five fingers and his wrists, he's still better than Freddie Gauthier in 8 minutes.
Yes,
okay,
he is.
You want my summary of this?
Yeah.
That's my goddamn summary. I want him out there playing with a broken hand.
Yeah.
And if anybody wants to know why, I've played goddamn tournaments in the U.S. with a broken hand.
Right.
So, because I know I was better than the fourth line guy with a broken hand. So I kept putting myself out with a broken hand. I actually played taped up with an ice pack tight, like taped up to my wrist to play through the broken hand.
Right.
So if I can do it, goddamn Austin Matthews can too. So I don't want to hear excuses why Austin Matthews couldn't play.
Wow.
Here's what I'm saying. If Austin Matthews didn't score goals because of that, that's one thing.
But he did.
But put him on the goddamn ice.
Yep.
Put Tavares on the goddamn ice.
Yep.
This whole playoff series is going to come down to we didn't put our best guys on the ice to succeed.
Yeah, and we saw Boston on the power play. They ran the Bergeron group out for the full 2 minutes.
They ran their guys over and over and over.
Trusted their guys on the power play to do it and trusted their secondary guys after the power play to hold the fort.
And for everybody else who's going to be on Twitter and looking at NHL.com or sports, I already looked. The time for Bergeron and Marchand and stuff like that was around 18, 19 minutes as well.
Yeah.
That's because they had the fucking lead.
Yep.
That's because they had a 2-goal lead. It's a different game at that point. You're putting out different guys for different reasons at that point.
You need to whip your horses when you're losing. And I hope our pal, our mutual friend, Amy Burke, who I get to coach in her sport, is listening to me right now because we've had these talks.
She's the horse.
In big games, you whip the fucking horse.
Yeah, you whip the
horse.
She
knows it's coming. Yeah. So.
For anybody who's going to be looking at those stats, the team you want to look at right now is San Jose, who's down 2-0 with 6 minutes left in the second. You want to see what their top line's doing.
Yeah. Brent Burns, Eric Karlsson, those guys.
If you see
Pavelski,
a guy like Hurdle at 14 minutes, that's a problem.
Well, you Hurdle's okay, but you better have Pavelski out there for 24, right? Like,
Oh, as Hurdle just missed the net on that.
That would have made it look awesome.
Just as you said it, I was like, oh, okay. Well, okay there. listen, that's where I leave my Leaf talk, man. This is a disappointing thing for a guy, and I don't think, you know what, and if you ask me in a week, do I think we should fire Babcock? Listen, we're not where we are. We're if not for Babcock, right?
Yep.
I think we need that steadying presence. I think we need a guy like this,
yep,
a guy the team, the fans, the staff, everybody can trust and rely on. Do I think there's anybody out there right now who can replace Babcock after all the good guys have been hired? Probably not.
Yeah. Yeah.
We touched upon this previously, and we'll touch upon it at some point this summer, I'm sure. Is Sheldon Keefe the guy who's coming in next? Man, I don't know. Maybe this is just where it's going. Maybe we're in for a power struggle. This is always where teams break down during power struggles, which really, as I think about this right now, too many drinks in, really pisses me off because you don't want to see this happen. But power struggles happen between GMs and coaches, and they happen between great players and coaches. And it really has that feeling that you got the GM and the great player on one side, and you have the coach on the other. And I don't see how a guy like Babcock survives this unless there's some sort of a chord, if there's some sort of, you know, something's got to happen here. I'm sure we're going to hear about a sit down. I'm sure we're going to hear about him flying out to Arizona again. I'm sure we're going to hear about all this dumb shit again, but it doesn't matter until we see it in place. And the problem is we're not going to see this again for another year. Because like we talked about, the regular season doesn't goddamn matter.
Next
it's going to be the same three teams in the same three spots
next year. Next year looks a whole lot like what this year's Raptors teams looks like, right? Just march through the regular season, waiting to get to the playoffs, and then see what you are. The Raptors have passed the test in round one. They're moving on. The Leafs did not. But you're not going to measure this year's or this upcoming year's Toronto Maple Leafs based on the regular season. You're going to measure them based on probably another matchup with the Boston goddamn Bruins. So
that's it. We're either going back against the Bruins or we're going to, and now granted, Tampa's going to have to go through some changes and they're not going to get through another regular season without. They're not going to get through another regular season without some injuries.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a Toronto-Tampa series. But what do you think happens in Toronto-Tampa series? It's going to be two teams who got unceremoniously bounced. And again, one team has to leave early.
Yep.
So you look at it and you go, well, somebody's getting fired. Somebody's getting traded. Somebody's getting, you know, canned. It doesn't matter what it is. It's like now we've put ourselves in the position that next year is a do-or-die season for this team and this management team.
So as we wind this down, I'm not going to give you any more time.
Well, wait. No. So before you do that.
Okay.
We will leave the Raptor talk for later.
Yes, we will. Absolutely. And the Raptors we are moving on.
Saturday, Sunday should be the start. I'm going to call a Saturday start for the Raptors, given the schedule right now, so we'll talk before then.
Absolutely,
but
we will.
Listen, Raptors, first time ever we went up 3-1. They finished the job. The one thing I'll say about this Raptor team on a Maple Leaf podcast, this Raptor team, and I said it to a couple people during game four, they stole the soul out of Orlando.
Yeah.
They literally looked at Orlando in that second half of that game and just took their fucking soul.
I saw a great tweet tonight. I hope you saw it too. I'd credit whoever it was if I could remember. But it said, I haven't seen the magic leave as quickly as it did from this series since my parents got divorced. Like, or since my parents divorced.
That's a fantastic.
For sure it is.
It's rarely there's that good of a tweet anymore because most tweets have been done.
I haven't seen the magic disappear this quickly since my parents divorced.
That is fantastic.
So I'm only giving you yes or no here as we wind this one down, and I'm giving it to you twice. Is Mike Babcock the coach on opening night next year?
I think he's the opening coach next year.
And is Freddie Anderson your starting goalie going into the season next October?
I also think he's a starting goalie next year.
I agree with you on both counts. I'm cutting you there because this has been long and the battery on our setup here is winding down. This has been Tall Can Sports. I know we said this wasn't coming. I hope some of you found this therapeutic. We're in the same place you are. This was a tough night and, you know, we're all feeling it a little bit. And tomorrow comes sober second thought, right? Tomorrow comes, you know, where we all kind of rationally real. But tonight, we're all feeling the way we feel. And
no way. I'm going to be like this for a week.
No doubt, man. I'm right there with you. And I'm dreading the Wednesday afternoon podcast with Rob because he's going to come in to coach's corner, whatever, blowhard's corner. That's how that's going to go. But we wanted to do this for you guys tonight, I think, as much as we wanted to do it for ourselves in terms of blowing off a little bit of steam. So,
therapeutic.
Yeah, absolutely. And we said there wouldn't be a pod like this, but there was a pod like this, and it was necessary a little bit. Hope you've enjoyed it as much. We got to blow off a little steam. Matty, as always, is at Matt Does Physio on Instagram. You should check him out there, at Matthew Lang on Twitter. We're at Tall Can Audio on both Instagram and the Twitter. We will have Matty obviously back for a little more digesting of what's happened on hockey, but certainly to tee up the second round of the Raptors. It looks like it's probably going to be Philly. Am I right?
Definitely Philly. Yeah, we're looking at Philly.
We're looking at Philly. We're looking at six games against Philly. That's all right. It.
So we will tee that one up before it starts, certainly. But in the meantime, you know what? Tough end to a season, but we're glad you all joined us. We're feeling the way you're feeling, and hope we could bring a little bit of peace to you. We'll see you on the next Talkin' Sports.
We're not going to be fucking sucked this year!
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at TallCanAudio.com or by searching TallCanAudio on your favorite podcast app.